If you have your Bibles with you tonight, just sort of keep them open there to Revelation chapter 2, because in a minute, I'm going to give you a little formula. I'm going to title my sermon tonight, How to Buy Love. And I know people say we can't buy love, but let me tell you how to do it. And it's going to be a little bit different than you probably think. But we know that the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John. He was in exile on the Isle of Patmos.
For preaching Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned a minute ago, chapters 2 and 3 are letters that Christ told John to write to the seven churches of that day. They had some, and in these letters, and you have probably read them numerous times, but in all of these letters, Christ compliments the churches about some things, but in every letter, there's some things that the churches needed to work on. And so again, these letters were for that day, but they're also for our day. The lessons, the things that the churches were complimented for, are things that we ought to strive to have in our church. The things that John said, hey, or that Jesus said, you need to work on, are things that should not show up in our church. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I believe the time is at hand more now than it was when John penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so that instruction that he gave to the readers in his day, that they listen and heed what was written, are more appropriate for us today, that we need to heed and we need to listen. And again, tonight we're going to look at this a part of this letter that was written to the church at Ephesus. John says some good things, or Jesus said some good, as John wrote, and Jesus used John to write it, but Jesus says some good things about the church at Ephesus. He says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know you work hard. I know you are patient. I know that you can't bear evil. I know that you've tried those that have said they were apostles, and you've found some to be false apostles. I know that you have not fainted. You haven't quit. You've kept on in your walk for me. And again, all those are compliments. All those are things that we ought to desire that God would say about our church. But then he says in verse 4, nevertheless, and you always know that something's different is coming when the Bible uses the word nevertheless. You know the tone is going to change. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, tonight, the primary focus of my message is this. If you're a Christian, you ought to love Christ more today than the day you got saved. If you're a Christian, your love for Christ ought to be growing. It ought to grow the longer that you are a Christian. And here was a group of Christians at Ephesus whose love for Christ was not growing. They had left their first love. And Christ is going to give them some things to do to get back to where they started at. And again, I would just, I think I talked about it last week. You know, when we first got saved, we felt the love of Christ in a tremendous way. I mean, when we got saved and we realized that God loved us, that Jesus loved us so much as a sinner, that he went to the cross, took our place, paid the price that we owed. And sometimes when people get saved, they say, I don't know how I can love Jesus anymore. I mean, the love that we felt when we first accepted him was overwhelming. It just washed over us like a wave. It covered every part of our being, and we just felt that love. But again, we were just getting started. Just getting started. And the love that we have for Christ, as I mentioned, ought to grow and grow and grow and grow. There are some people that their love for Christ has gone in the opposite direction. I mean, if they were honest, they would have to say, no, I don't think I love Christ as much today as the day I got saved. They would fall under this, what Jesus was talking about in this letter to the church at Ephesus. Well, you've left your first love. And so, again, the point of my message is going to be, how do we get back to that first love? How do we get to a love for Christ that does increase over time? But the things that I'm going to give you tonight, the things that we need to do to get that first love back, can apply to other relationships as well. It can apply to the relationship that husbands and wives have with one another. You know, when we first got married, we thought we were so much in love, we didn't know we could love each other more. But your love as husband and wife ought to grow down through the ages. It ought to grow with the passage of time. Men, you ought to love your wives more tonight than you did when you got married. And ladies, you ought to love your husbands more tonight than when you got married. The same thing is true in our relationship with the child and parent relationship. We ought to love our kids more with the passage of time. I know I talked about last Sunday about getting rid of teenagers, but we're not going to do that. We ought to love them. And as children, we ought to love our parents, and our love ought to grow. I mean, as we get older, we understand more and more what our parents have done for us as they've raised us, the sacrifices they made. It ought to cause us to love them more and more. And again, I will say to children, and all of us are children. Some of us don't have our parents with us anymore. They're gone, but our love for our parents ought to grow. Our love for our children ought to grow over time. Same is true about a relationship that friends have. True friend, the love that you have for a true friend ought to grow over time. The love that you have for your church ought to grow over time. The love that you have for lost people ought to grow over time. The love that we have for backsliders ought to grow over time. And again, the principles I'm going to give you tonight will apply in every relationship. Again, I'm going to apply them to our love for Christ. But I'm going to give you a little three-point formula that comes from verse 5 that Jesus gave this church at Ephesus as to how to get back to your first love. And I was thinking about it as I was driving to church tonight. I find it interesting how many three-point things that God puts in the Bible. Did you ever stop and look at that, Louis? You ever stop and look at just the different verses that have 3 points in them? I think it was because God knew there would be a bunch of dumb preachers that needed a lot of help. And so he just put 3 points in verse after verse after verse so that we could find them real easily. Well, you can find them. You can find 3 things in verse 5 that will help us get, that will help us to love more. Let me just say it like that. It will help us get back to our first love. It'll help our love to grow. So here they are, real quickly tonight. Number one, remember and know that not to love is a sin. And for your love not to grow is a sin. It starts out in verse 5 where it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. John is writing to church members. He's writing to Christians. And so he says to Christians, he says to the members of the church at Ephesus, remember how far you have fallen. Now, usually when we think of the word fallen, we think about big sins. And if we read this verse and said, well, boy, these folks at Ephesus must have really gone into sin. They must have really done something bad. They must have committed a cardinal sin. I don't know what a cardinal sin is. I've heard that phrase, but I mean, sin is sin. People try to put them in categories, but in God's sight, sin is sin. You break the law in one point, offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. We say, well, if they've fallen, they must be a thief. They must have stole something. If they've fallen, they must have killed somebody. They must be a murderer. If they've fallen, they must have worshipped idols. They must have done something big for God to say to the members of this church, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. But what was their sin? They left their first love. They did not love Jesus as much as they did when they got saved. That was their sin. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." When God uses the word somewhat, it's a strong word. God's trying to make a point. What he's saying is, hey, church, hey, Christians at Ephesus, I have something against you. You not only have made a mistake, you've made a big mistake. You not only sin, you've committed a big sin. And not loving and not having our love grow might not be very big to us. It might not be a big deal to us, but it's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. And I know there are people that say, well, just a minute, that's not my nature. By my nature, I'm just not a loving person. I'm just not an affectionate person. Well, let me talk to you for a minute if you put yourself in that category. Hey, the Bible says that we were made in the image of God. The Bible says that God is love. If we were made in the image of God, you were made to love God and you were made to love other people. Okay? That's why you were made. Everything that God is for, Satan's against. If God is for love, who do you think is planting that idea in your head that you're not a loving person? If God is love, if God is for love, who do you think is planting that thought in your mind? Well, I'm not an affectionate person, so my love doesn't grow. It's not such a big deal. It's Satan planting that. Because again, he's against everything that God is for. Let me remind you tonight, what's the greatest commandment? Somebody asked Jesus that one time, and Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. Now stop and think about it. That commandment is greater than the first commandment, which says, have no other gods before me. That commandment to love God with everything you are is greater than the commandment to not make any graven image. That commandment to love God is greater than commandment not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. That commandment to love God is greater than the commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let me just reason with you for a minute. If the greatest commandment is to love God, then what's the greatest sin? Not to love God. If the greatest commandment is to love God with everything that we are, our mind, our soul, our strength, if that's the greatest commandment, then again, what's the greatest sin? Not to do that. What's the second greatest commandment? Again, go to Jesus for the answer. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. I mean, the first commandment is to love God. The second greatest commandment is to love other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. That commandment is greater than the commandment to honor your father and mother. That commandment is greater than the commandment, thou shalt not kill. That commandment is greater than the commandment to not commit adultery. That commandment is greater than the commandment not to steal. That commandment is greater than the commandment not to bear false witness. That commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves is greater than the commandment not to covet. And if the second greatest commandment is to love other people, what's the second greatest sin? Not to love other people. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Understand. You want to know how to get your first love back? You want to know how to make your love grow? Understand that not loving God and not loving others is a sin. It's a sin. It's a big deal to God. You say, well, I'm not an affectionate person. Well, you can get forgiveness for that sin just like you can for all the others. I'm going to tell you how tonight. I'm going to tell you how you can love. So remember, it's a sin. Here's the second step. Repent. Repent. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. That word repent comes from a Greek word, metanoia. It means to think differently. Think differently. So here's what this verse is saying. I used to think not loving God didn't make any difference. Now, I'm not saying that I used to think this. I'm just giving you an illustration, okay? a person used to think that not loving God didn't make much difference. A person used to think that God didn't care if they loved him or not. A person used to think that not loving others was not so bad. If we're going to repent, we need to think differently. We need to think that loving God is a big deal with God. We need to think that not loving God is the greatest sin that we can commit. We need to think that not loving others is the second greatest sin that we can commit. We need to repent. We need to think differently. If we've left our first love, if our love isn't growing, if we don't love Christ as much as we loved him before, then we need to know that we've sinned, and we need to change our thinking. And then number three, and this is where we get to the part about how we buy love, and do thy first works. We just don't repent and everything's okay. I mean, we need to change our way of thinking. We need to know it's a sin, and we need to change our way of thinking. But you don't get back to your first love by just doing those two things. You got to do this third thing too. You have to go back, and you have to do your first works. All right, so think back to your first love. How did your love grow? Did your love grow because of what that person you loved did for you? Did your love grow because of the gifts they bought for you? Did your love grow because of the places they took you? Did your love grow because of the sweet nothings they said unto you? Did your love grow because of the things they did? Now, some people might, without thinking, might say, yeah, that's exactly right. That's how my love grew. And I would submit to tonight that if that's you, you're not thinking right. Your love did not grow for somebody else because of what they did for you. Your love for them grew by the things that you did for them. You see, the things you did for them was you investing yourself in them. Again, your love didn't grow because of the gifts they bought for you. Your love grew because of the gifts you bought for them. Your love didn't grow because of the places they took you. Your love grew because of the places you took them. Your love didn't grow because of the sweet nothings they said. Your love grew because of the sweet nothings you said. Love doesn't grow for the things that others do for us. Love grows because of the things that we do for them. Let me illustrate. If love grows because of the things that people do for us, then every child would love their parents. And I know there's some bad parents, but for the most part, if our love grew because of the things that other people did for us, then every child would love their parents. If our love grew because of what others did for us, then every person would have no problem with the greatest commandment. I mean, if our love grew because of what Jesus did for us, then there would be no problem with people keeping the first commandment, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we'd have no problem keeping the second commandment, loving our neighbor as ourselves. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." How many of you own a stock? Just raise your hand. You own some stock. All right, so several people. Now, let me ask you, you don't need to answer. You own a stock. Let's say you go, you have the Wall Street Journal or some other publication that lists the different the stocks and the prices they closed at. You don't need to answer. Which one do you look at? Right. Who said that? Stay out of my preaching, Leo. I'm going to get there. I know, but I don't want you to answer it. If I want you to answer it, I'll tell you. Which one do you look at? You look at the one you own, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the one you've invested in. That's the one you got your money in. That's the one you're concerned about. That's the one that you care about. You bought it. You want that the price to go up, or at least not to go down. You want it, you know, continue to pay the dividend if they pay a dividend. But you've invested in that company, so you're interested in that company. How did God's love grow for us? He invested in us. He gave us the greatest thing that he could give us. He gave us his only begotten son. That's how his love grows for us. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So how does our love grow for God? How does our love grow for Jesus? Well, we invest ourselves in him. So let me take you back to the time you got saved. When you asked Jesus to be your Savior, when you came into the kingdom of God, when you became part of his family, you want to know why your love grew for Jesus at that point? Because you were doing the things that was investing in him. You were reading your Bible. And it wasn't just a duty. Man, you looked forward to reading this book. I mean, you look forward to the time that you had set aside in your schedule. You couldn't wait till you got to it. And every time you opened it up, you looked for what God was trying to tell you from this book. You invested in the Word of God. You invested your time in prayer. I mean, you look forward to those times that you had set aside in your schedule where you could get alone with God and you could pour out your heart to him. And you could tell him about the things that were going on. I mean, and the time you spent with God in prayer was a fresh time, was a time, again, that you looked forward to. You told other people about Jesus. I mean, some of the best soul winners are new Christians because they haven't gotten over their salvation. It's still exciting to them. I mean, they're still in awe about what God did for them when he saved them. And they invested their time, they invested their resources, they invested their life in the things that make up Christianity. Reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, coming to church, tithing, telling people about Christ, helping the poor. I mean, we invested ourselves in them and in those things, and our love for Christ grew. And so John would say, come back to your first works. You want to know how to get that first love back? Start doing the things you did before. I mean, too many times for Christians, Bible readings become a duty instead of a privilege. Too many times prayer becomes a duty instead of an opportunity. Too many times the things of Christianity become duties as opposed to opportunities, and we lose our first love because we're not investing ourselves in the things that we invested ourselves in before. Same thing. Let me just make a couple applications real quick and I'll be done. Remember when you first got married? Remember how much you loved your mate? Why? Because you invested yourselves in them. You treated them like a king. You treated them like a queen. You thought about them. You wrote sweet little mushy notes and put it between the bread and their sandwiches, so when they bit into that sandwich, they would find that love note that you left for them. You invested yourselves in them. When's the last time you wrote a mushy note to your spouse? I don't want you to raise your hands. When's the last time? When's the last time you bought candy and flowers for your, I mean, not for your husband, for your wife? When's the last time? I mean, you used to do that when you first got married. You used to do those things. You invested yourselves in each other. Huh? Yeah, I know. I'm getting all sorts of dirty looks tonight. That's all right. It's not me. It's the Word of God. Get mad. If you're going to get mad at anybody, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. But here's the point. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. It's not where your heart is, where your treasure is. It's the things that you invest in, where your heart is. You want to know how to buy love? Then you invest. You invest in the things of God. You invest in your spouse. Remember when you first joined the church? How excited you were? How much you loved it? You were always here. Sunday school, Sunday morning. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. Wednesday night. I mean, every time the doors were open, you were here. You loved it because you invested yourself in it. Too many times as we get older, as Christians, we pull back and we say, well, I'm older now. Let the young people do it. Well, why? Why? There's no discharge in this war. There's no retirement age for Christians. I mean, the older Christians ought to be the example of what it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've been through it. I should say, we've been through it. I cannot buy your love for me by what I do. But I can buy my love for you. I can buy my love for you by investing in you. And I wonder if God might not say to some of us tonight, hey, I have somewhat against you. You don't love me like you used to. You've left your first love. You're not investing in me like you used to. You've fallen. It's a sin. Repent. Change your thinking and get back to your first works. Do the things that you used to do. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction and encouragement it gives us. And I pray that we would be a church, we would be a people that love our God supremely, that we would love you with everything that we are, everything that we have. There'd be nothing that comes between us and you. And then, Father, I pray that we'd love others as ourselves. First and second, first commandment, second commandment. Help us to understand that not doing what those commandments say are in your sight the greatest sin and the second greatest sin. And Father, help us if we've fallen away from our first love to repent and come back to doing what we used to do. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior tonight, that Holy Spirit, that you've been speaking to them, you've been showing them their sin, you've been showing them what Jesus did for them on Calvary as he took all their sins upon himself, as God laid on his Son all of our sins and Jesus paid the price. Help them to understand tonight that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to you but by him. And I pray tonight that they would take the Savior, they would receive him. So just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.